pots, kettles and glasshouses, a response to Austin Walker's review of McGrane. In this article, I speak only for myself. While I am confident that other New Covenant theologians would agree with the point I make, obviously I cannot speak for them, hence my use of the singular first-person pronoun. Kevin McGrane wrote a series of articles which were published in the Gospel magazine, which he then expanded to produce a book that was published by the Gospel Magazine Trust in 2018, entitled New Covenant Theology Weighed and Found Wanting. The Banner of Truth has recently published Austin Walker's review of McGrane's book. As in my previous response to McGrane, brought about by Kevin Bidwell's review of McGrane's book, even though I am privileged to be mentioned by name both in the original book and the reviews, I am not responding to Walker's review to defend New Covenant theology, certainly not to defend myself. Though it might seem I am trying to do the latter, I have far bigger fish to fry. Indeed, defence of any kind could not be further from my mind. I'm on the attack. The fact is, I want to try yet again to push a rock uphill and, on this question of the law, make Reformed writers actually mean and do what they are so fond of saying, parroting more like, namely, that they regard their confessions and catechisms as subsidiary standards, whereas Scripture is their true authority. If only their works belie them. Specifically, according to Walker, McGrane's position is that New Covenant Theology, NCT, has been established on unsound exegesis and a faulty hermeneutic, that is, way of interpreting Scripture, determined by particular presuppositions. NCT effectively imposes a hermeneutical grid on texts of Scripture based on an a priori theological position, namely, inductivism, that is, using a particular set of facts or ideas to form a general principle. McGrane is critical of a theology resting on a single phrase from Galatians 6:2. Well, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Would Walker and or McGrane like to tell me what particular presuppositions determine my faulty hermeneutic? The only presupposition I make is that Scripture is the authority, and I must read and interpret every biblical passage in its context. As evidence, see my Christ is all, no sanctification by the law, where I expound every New Testament passage on the law, not just Galatians 6:2. So I find it a bit rich to read such accusations from Reformed writers who, whatever they say to the contrary, make a confession their touchstone, that confession depending on mere proof texts for a presupposed theological template, which proof texts pretty often are glossed or irrelevant to the point being made. The truth is, as everybody knows, and Walker's short review is brimful with proof, that the Reformed simply cannot read the Bible on the law without a Reformed confession open before them, and that confession and its theology telling them how to interpret what they read in the Scriptures. In short, they make Scripture conform to the Reformed theology presupposed in the confession. Walker owns McGrane's position at the very start of his review. McGrane writes as a man committed to traditional Reformed covenant theology, as expressed in the Reformation Confessions of Faith. QED for McGrane. And Walker tells us his own position as he closes his review. The reviewer, Austin Walker, is a persuaded Reformed Baptist who, like his 17th century forefathers, he should see certain works of mine, which I have listed in the footnote, is firmly committed to covenant theology and rejects the tenets of NCT. QED for Walker. While this is commendably honest, it must serve as a health warning. One can hardly expect a scriptural assessment of NCT from men who are completely committed to a system that will only, can only, interpret scripture by a Reformed confession. And yet they have the gall to accuse me, and others like me, of having a faulty hermeneutic determined by particular presuppositions. Really? I appeal to the Reformed to stop this pot-stroke-kettle nonsense. It is worse than nonsense. Their accusations about my approach are false, and that's putting it politely. Consequently, once again, I issue the challenge to Reformed writers and teachers. Just produce a work on the law, establishing the apostolic doctrine from Scripture without starting with a confession. Just let Scripture speak for itself. Do it for all the key passages. Passages, not mere individual verses. Passages such as Romans 6:1 to 8:4. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6 to 4 verse 6, Galatians, Ephesians 2, 1 to 22, Philippians 3, 2 to 16, Colossians 2, 9 to 23, Hebrews. If you want to introduce the so-called threefold division of the law, moral, ceremonial and judicial, or any other Reformed gloss, establish such by Scripture. Moreover, Walker actually, and I'm sure inadvertently, made my case for me when he exposed McGrane's failure, and it is a failure of all the Reformed. A further chapter in McGrane's book, explaining more fully the significance of Jeremiah 31:31-34, and the way in which that passage is used in Hebrews 8:7-13 and 10:15-18, would strengthen the whole. This won't do. It goes far wider than that. Yes, these are key passages, but only some among many. It is not a question of strengthening the whole. As I have said, let the Reformed scrap their unscriptural way of measuring everything in Scripture by a Reformed confession, forcing Scripture into a Reformed template, and simply expound all the relevant passages of Scripture on the subject of the law. I have done it. Now let these glasshouse stone throwers do the same. When can we expect that? I'm not holding my breath. After all, as I've just shown, Walker openly rejects the tenets of NCT, in which case, alas, it is impossible for him to rise to the challenge. Why? Why? Because, as I have said, and have made as clear as noonday in my works, one tenet which I hold to, and this will be true of all who advocate the theology of the New Covenant, and in this context it is the principal tenet, is that Scripture and nothing else is our authority. Since Walker rejects the tenets of NCT, he must reject that. If so, my appeal must fall on deaf ears. Let me close by referring the Reformed to their own confession, when it makes a point I wholeheartedly endorse. If only, the Reformed would not only endlessly repeat, but act in accordance with their confession. The supreme judge by which all controversies of religion are to be determined, and all decrees of councils, opinions of ancient writers, doctrines of men, and private spirits are to be examined, and in whose sentence we are to rest, can be no other but the Holy Spirit speaking in the Scripture. Quite. So let Scripture speak on the law, and speak unfettered by man-made confessions.